Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
All right, 11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we will get to the Offensive Rookie of the Year and Defensive Rookie of the Year odds, including one player. Can he actually win both? Is that possible? We'll go through some of the odds, some of the long shots. Where would you put your money right now to win Offensive Rookie of the Year in the NFL? That's one of the fun things right after the draft. You get the odds immediately. Offensive Rookie of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year. And, you know, last year, everybody thought Caleb Williams was a lock. Remember? Like, everybody thought, oh, it's almost a guarantee that Caleb Williams was going to win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Remember having the conversation. We had it on this show.
And then it wasn't even close. And Jaden Daniels won it.
Yeah, and we were in Vegas. Running away. We had people on. We were out at Circa in Vegas and everything. I remember talking about it. I think we had our friend Tim Murray from VSiN on, and we were like, Caleb Williams just winning this thing, right? And, of course, Jaden Daniels ends up winning it pretty comfortably by the time it was done.
I mean, yeah, I know
some people wanted to make a case for Brock Bowers or Bo Nix, but it wasn't really that. It was, I would say, week 11 or 12, Jaden Daniels was the
because
guy.
It's such a bad quarterback year, so not be, as we'll talk about here in a minute, not be a bad year to take somebody off of the quarterback train.
All right, so I told you I wanted to tell you guys about something from this weekend. We didn't get to it on Monday or Tuesday. We were waiting for something to maybe happen, so we kind of held off on mentioning it on the show. Anybody that's listened to the show, you guys know, whether it was our Top Shot days, if you're way back from 2020, 2021.
An OG listener?
If you're an original Cody and Gold listener, you know we did the Top Shot cards, so the NFTs, right? And we ripped those packs on air, and we made some money off of that on the show. And we split it. It was a show thing that we did. And we still occasionally talk about cards on the show or whatever. And
we talk about them in our personal lives a little bit. Yeah.
And sports cards continue to blow up. Like the value of these, whether you're talking about a Bobby Wood Jr. rookie, a Cags Bowman card, Patrick Mahomes rookie card, whatever it may be, right? Like it's a real, real thing. It's very, very popular. That's why we're excited to have Art of Sports on board for our road trip. And so I occasionally do what they call card breaks. And instead of spending a ton of money on an individual box of cards, you can own a certain team in that break, right? And Fanatics does these breaks online. So Friday night, it's like I was at the Royals game. I got home from the Royals game. I was like, yeah, let me pop on there. There's a product that I wanted to see, a chance to get a Bobby Wood Jr. card. Anyway, within that break, there was a chance to pull a different pack of cards. And, well, we have the audio of it. This is what happened.
Yeah, Timmy, I don't do that hype. Y'all can kick me somewhere with that. Oh my God! Oh my God, record that! Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh my God!
Oh my goodness gracious! Caitlin Clark, 101!
Caitlin Clark, rookie card, gold vinyl, 101. That was pulled for a break.
On the stream, if people want to see it,
you can see it on the stream, also on my Twitter account.
So YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, he's got it up there right now, so you can see this card.
That pack was my pack. They were opening it.
Baseball cards, to be clear, when you bought into this break, right?
Initially, this was kind of like a consolation pack, essentially. Didn't think I would ever change that pack that they opened. These guys are based out of Dallas or whatever. It's on Fanatics Live, and they ripped that pack. That card is mine, and I'm going to end up sending it to auction and get it graded and everything. It is estimated, depending on the grade, at minimum $10,000, if not up to a $20,000 card.
Okay, so Did you know it was worth 10 the second it was pulled, or just like, damn, that's a nice car? Or was it like, I got to do some quick research and figure out if this is like a $200,000 or $10,000 or $2,000?
I knew it was a couple $1,000 card at least, like immediately. It's a rookie card.
It's worth four figures.
It's one of one. And then very quickly I realized, oh, this might be like a $7,000 to $10,000 card. And there's a chance that's still what it is, but I have to get it graded. And that is in the process of happening, and it's going to be sent out to an auction site. We're going to have some stuff, more details on that in the future.
We'll be following it as it, once it finally gets to auction or whatever, because you don't even have the card in hand yet.
Yeah, it's going to be going to be at an auction. We're going to work with them and have some fun on the show with it and everything. But yeah, man, like literally like a mini lotto ticket, basically. By the way, that spot cost me $59.
$59. The box you guys were opening originally was, what team did you get just out of? So you got in a baseball thing, you were trying to get the Bobby Witt. It's a randomizer a lot of times. Yeah. If nobody does these card pulls, you can sign up, and sometimes you can sign up or pay extra for a slot for a team that's good. Yeah. But sometimes you can do random teams, which you had a random team.
Talking with people in the industry and even an auction house and stuff, I think conservatively, even if it doesn't grade well, it's 10,000. If it grades a 10, which is the best grade you can get, then 20 to 25 is in play. So obviously thrilled, pumped. I was like, I barely slept Friday night, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Adrenaline was rushing, man. Adrenaline rush. So, so it was just a crazy hit. It's up on our Twitter account and stuff. And someone says, don't have to sell ink. Yeah, this is not a show card. Sorry. It's not
that
a show
card.
That
box is gone, by the way. Remember, I sold it at cost.
Yeah. Someone
We've
says,
recouped.
Are you holding on to it? No, I am going to go ahead and flip this one right away. Caitlin Clark is one of the hottest cards and players in sports memorabilia right now. I think we all know the hype that she got last year, and this is a rookie card. I'm not going to keep. I would love to sit here and say, oh yeah, I'm just going to keep it. And maybe, and look, by the way,
sometimes they go way up.
It might be worth, that's the risk involved, right? It might be worth more in 5 years. There's a very good chance it could be, but I'll be honest. If I can get $20,000 for a card now
for $59
or $15,000, I'm going to go ahead and sell. So, we'll find out the auction and stuff. Working on it. It probably won't even be till June. So we got some time before any exact pricing. But
Our next thing is PSA grading, right?
The next step is gonna be sweating. What is it grade out at? We want a 10. I don't know if it's a 10 or not. I need to look at the card myself too. But yeah,
and I like how we all look at it like you're the person at PSA who's gonna make a determination on it.
I know.
You'll know if a corner's dinged or if it's got some surface wear.
Yeah.
But like 9 or 10 is really what you need, right?
Yeah, a 9 or 10. I think if it's a nine, I can probably get 10,000 to 12,000 for it. If it's a 10, 20,000 is in play based on people I've talked to. So just crazy, man. We've talked about card breaks on the show before, and we might have some exciting news on something else that we as a show are going to be doing maybe very, very soon. To be determined on that. Stay tuned. Just crazy. We've joked off air before. Like, what if you hit this blank? Like, this is like a once in a lifetime.
Like, we talked about that Paul Skeens card. It's not pulling the Skeens, but like the odds of getting that is just so low.
Yeah, like that's $1 million card, right? Like, this is obviously not on that level, but it's like a dang mini lottery and once in a lifetime pull. Here's the weird thing. Now, if I ever pull a card again, I could pull a really nice card that's worth $500, and unfortunately, it's like ruined forever. It's never gonna feel like a cool card anymore.
What you're saying that the high's gone?
Yeah, like
a $500 card is a pretty big pull.
No, but it won't feel as special because now I'm like the coolest card I ever pulled. I already pulled. I'll never pull anything like this the rest of my life. So I'm like, where did this card happen? Fanatics Live. It's a card platform online. You can download their app and there's different breakers on that, but
and Gold will put up the video, I think, on his social media page if you want to see the video of them pulling it.
Yeah,
I think we'll try to get that up at some point as well. But the photo of the card was up on the stream. Can you put it up one more time, Jim? If you're watching on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch, Facebook,
someone says don't
put it up on the stream again for a second.
Someone says don't grade a one of one. Yeah, I've already talked to people. In order to put it through auction, you have to grade it. And I understand the case for why you don't need to grade a one of one because there is no comp. I totally understand that. I've talked to people about it, have to grade it to send it to auction. That's just how that works. Auctions aren't going to sell a raw card. So yeah, it has to be graded.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
You want to put, you could just try to get a cash offer. Maybe someone just give you $20,000.
I left that part out. Somebody offered me $7,000 cash already, but that is a very low ball offer. I'm not taking that. They already know that. I already said no.
Man, lowballed you. Lowballed you.
Initially, the offer was five. Then they went up to seven. It's still too low.
So you got a $7,000 cash offer on the table right now. Uncle Sam doesn't have to know about that, you know?
Yeah, well, when they say that's cash, the when thing, they say cash offer,
that's a good
when they
point.
See,
that's a fair point.
All I'm saying is, in that case, you know, Uncle Sam doesn't have to know anything about that sale.
When they say cash offer, like, this is still some, they would not have, like, literally handed me cash.
They wouldn't have come up here I would and still hand have had, you a sack of money.
I still would have had to report it. Yeah, the auction, obviously, I'm going to have to pay taxes on, but I'll gladly pay. It gets free. It's found money. You think I care that I have to pay taxes off of a $12,000 or $15,000 card? I don't care about that.
Okay. I'm just,
Cody off air was trying to spend my money that I don't even have yet
me. I said, Alex has told us, like, his lease is up in a couple of months. I said, you take this $20,000, you go put a down payment on a house. Okay. I'm looking right now. Hold on. Wait. No. I'm looking
that's
at a
not,
nice.
I can tell you, I can promise you that's not what I'm going to do.
I can just, look, I'm looking right now on Zillow. Got a little, and this is like, it's like living in an apartment. Little two bed, one bath, downtown OP. Down payment on that, the estimated mortgage would be $1,600.
Do you want to live in a house
pretty much
right
what
now,
it's rent.
I'm not. I can promise you.
It's pretty much what you're doing with rent.
There's a lot of options. I have some ideas what I want to do with the money. Some more responsible than others. And buying a house is not one of them.
Why? That's a very responsible thing to do with money. Buying a house is a responsible thing to do with a lot of money.
So you think the house?
I also don't know. There's a big difference between if it sells for 10 and if it sells for 20.
I'm saying in this case, if it sells for 10,
there's a big difference.
Because then you got your whole down payment.
My question is, buying a car, is that in the realm of possibility?
Some of the money would be put aside for when I eventually buy a car. Yes.
Because this car is at least 10 years old. All I'm saying is that a house buying is actually that's how I would spend your money.
Yeah. Cody's going to have realtors DMing me now. Thank you.
My dad's a real estate agent. I wouldn't even have to. Like,
there it is. See, there it
is.
Well,
that's not why I'm suggesting you buy a house. Yeah. I've never mentioned that up until this point.
No, I've got some ideas depending on what it sells for. And yeah, the car would be one of them. I mean, I'm not going to take all of it and just go buy a car. It would be.
You're doing a $500 parlay. I can feel it. I can feel it in my gut. You're going to gamble. Yeah. It was a gamble to get the car. Now you're going to take some of that and gamble more. I know you're doing at least one reckless parlay.
Trying to be responsible. I've got some plans.
I think you're right, Cody. There's
at least one reckless parlay.
I'm going to do something fun with it, of course.
Or maybe buy into a nicer card, break it, and you know what I'm saying. You know, because I'm sure that there are ones for like really high end like product.
So we'll have an update over the next couple weeks on it. Like Cody said, the big thing now is going to be waiting to find out, is it great, is it 10, or is it 9?
If you missed it, he pulled a one of one Caitlin Clark. Yeah. Out of a card break, you bought into a break out of one out of Dallas, and a one of one Caitlin Clark Panini card.
Yeah, it's gold vinyl. It's gold vinyl, one of one rookie card out of a pack that was actually handed out during the national thing back in National Card Show in Cleveland in July, apparently. So, yeah, pretty fired up about that. It's weird. I'm obviously excited. It's been a little stressful the last couple of days. You're like, why is it stressful? Because I've been
shipping
and trying to figure out the next steps and obviously maximize the value of this
talking
thing.
Talking to people at auction houses.
And doing it properly and everything. So, yeah.
Pretty good. Pretty good card, man. Not bad. You will never pull another card like that for the rest of your life.
No.
I don't think. I don't want to say for sure, but not. Seems unlikely based on
how confident.
This feels the opposite of when we pulled bowl when I asked you in Top Shot.
That would have been the worst card we could have got.
What's the worst one we could pull? And you said bowl, and then we pulled
how
it.
How confident are you that the Chiefs win the Super Bowl? Because you could take all $20,000 and flip that into $150,000.
That's just, I'm not, I said buy a house. I'm not advocating for reckless behavior.
Yeah, I'd be more likely to put $20,000 that Drew's not breaking 100 at Augusta, honestly, than betting anything else. Yeah, or, you know, that's where I would be.
That wouldn't win you as much, though.
Yeah, but it would guarantee me a win. No, I would make sure it would guarantee it, man.
Go to at Alex Gold or at Cody. I don't have the photo up. So at Alex Gold, he's got a photo of the card if you
want to
see
it. We'll also have it up on our social media pages
stream.
Later.
We'll put it up on the social media stream so you can see it as well. But yes. Pretty good pull.
So we'll get an update. We'll get an update in the next week or so. Whenever there's anything new, we'll keep an eye on that. And maybe I'll put up the video. I think you guys probably, for some of you actually care about the video, let me know. I'll put it up. I know some of you don't care. So we didn't need to put it up on the station account yet, but I'll put it on my personal account, at Alex Gold. All right, let's talk about offensive rookie of the year, defensive rookie of the year. We mentioned that there's one player, of course, that has a chance to do both, and that's the fun storyline right now. Do you actually believe Travis Hunter can win offensive rookie of the year and defensive rookie of the year? I'm fascinated by this market right now because, and I'll get you the odds in a second, but we know Travis Hunter is going to play more wide receiver. I think that's pretty obvious, but we know the Jags are going to let him play both. He's going to play corner and wide receiver. even though they're two separate awards, I think Travis Hunter just playing corner a little is going to help his offensive rookie of the year case, right? Like this is
because it'll be like, wow, he had 1,000 yards, but look, exactly. He also was playing corner,
and that's what's what's weird about this. How are voters going to think? Because offensive rookie of the year should have nothing to do with what you're doing on defense. That's why we have a defensive rookie of the year.
Every award is narrative based.
People are going to have the narrative and say, wow, he's got 900, 1,000 yards as a rookie, and he's playing 40% of the snaps on defense. Oh, that makes that offensive numbers even more impressive. I think that is what's going to happen for a lot of people. And so you're going to see this market be bet quite a bit. The rookie of the year market, at least on FanDuel, I was pulling it up. It's down on mine. I don't know if it's up on yours, Cody, but
I have an article from yesterday.
Okay, there you go.
Right now, the offensive rookie of the year odds co-tied for first, Ashton Jeanty and Cam Ward tied for first, which is rare for a quarterback situation, but Cam Ward's the only quarterback you can comfortably bet and know that he is going to be a starter from day one. No questions asked. So the other guys would be a long shot. Ashton Jeanty feels like a logical favorite. Travis Hunter plus 550 as of a day ago. Tet McMillan plus 1,300, Hampton plus 1,500, Tyler Shuck plus 2,000, and then so on and so forth. I don't think there's anybody outside of Hunter, Ward, and Jeanty, I'd bet. And I know that you're talking about like the long shot, like maybe Tet McMillan for the Panthers and Bryce Young just go off. But the Travis Hunter narrative thing's going to be really tough to beat. Quarterbacks are already tough to beat. And Ashton Jeanty could have 1,400 all-purpose yards in year one.
And I think there's only one quarterback that can win it this year. Last year, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, obviously Caleb Williams, these were all quarterbacks that had a legit chance to win it, Cody. I don't think this year it's a competitive field for the award from a quarterback perspective. We know QBs get an edge on offensive rookie of the year. I'm kind of with you. Yeah, Cam Ward has a great shot. He's going to start week one. If he just has an average rookie year, he's probably winning this award. But you're only worried about one quarterback. This would be a year maybe to take a look at non-quarterback to win offensive rookie of the year.
I think Ashton Jeanty is a favorite for a reason. Now,
He's the actual favorite still? Because Cam Ward was on Saturday. Is Jeanty truly the favorite at
this
segment?
This is BetMGM's.
Okay.
So like it just kind of depends.
This is
one site. I'm not saying this is like guaranteed across the board, but as of right now, he's the co-favorite with Cam Ward. Because again, people don't know whether or not Cam Ward's good enough. He has no offensive talent around him, in my opinion. It's thin picking, and I think Ashton Jeanty could have a 1,000 yards rushing and another couple hundred yards immediately on the defensive rookie of the year odds. Travis Hunter, do you like him just the same? Because for the same, isn't like you said, vice versa it applies. If Travis Hunter is a good rookie corner, but has 850 yards receiving, isn't he more likely to win defensive player of the year, even though Abdul Carter has 10 sacks? He's doing two things.
I don't think if Carter has 10 sacks, I don't think Carter loses the award
because he's the favorite. Travis Hunter, Jalen Walker, Mikel Williams, Mike Green, some of the other guys on the board, like Shamar Stewart plus 1,500, Drew, if you're just feeling extra salty. Defensive player of the year is a much wider net. Like that's the one where I shop for value more, don't you? Because all it takes is one guy to have a big sack season.
It's all sack or interception related,
yeah,
right?
It's all like who ended up having 9 sacks or who ended up having 5 interceptions. Like you can go a lot of that, but that's why I feel like Travis Hunter could win it. Like that's why part of me thinks you parlay them together. Your best bet is parlay offensive player of the year, defensive player of the year, Travis Hunter. Pair them together and see what you get. See what you can get together. I don't know on
some
season long.
Some books will let you. Just depends. Yeah.
Like find the one, parlay them together and see what happens in this world. Because if he ends up being a solid corner two and has 875 to 950 yards receiving, I think it's a really strong argument he wins both.
The long shot to look at, and it's not even that long of a shot. We disagreed on this yesterday. We were going through landing spots for quarterbacks and who starts first. If you're convinced, Drew, that Shedeur Sanders is starting by week 6 of the season or week 5, that's an interesting one.
Yeah.
If you're convinced he's starting there. Now, if he's not starting till week 12, it's too late. He's not winning.
Yeah, he's got to start by first month.
If you think there's a chance he starts in the first month or so of the season, that's an interesting one to put a little sprinkle on.
Does Shedeur have better odds than Shuck?
I would assume so.
Shuck does.
He does?
It's got to be because they assume that Shuck's going to be
starting.
You're
on bet. Let me pull up FanDuel. I don't know why it's not pulling up for me. Let's see.
This is the shot because like they're best guessing Shuck starting.
Right.
Like, he's got a much better chance to start.
And that's the thing. I wonder if you're convinced, I'm not, but if you're convinced that Shador is going to play quicker than...
Play more than half the season, essentially.
Then that's an interesting one. Here we go. Let me see if it's actually going to pull up now. I was just trying to... NFL futures. Here we go.
Over on here, I just pulled another one. Over on FanDuel, Shuck is the fourth best odds. Okay. Plus 1,200. You have to go all
FanDuel
the way down.
Just doesn't have it up.
Jackson Dart would be above him. Will Howard would be. Jalen Milroe is above Shador.
Is he really?
It? Hold on. Wow. Maybe I just missed his name. Now I'm worried. No, I missed his name. I was like, that seems too low. Plus 1,900. Which plus 1,200 for Tyler Shuck. He's below Quinshon Judkins for Rookie of the Year.
Because
that's the other guy. If I wasn't going to take Ash and Jinty, here's the truth. I'd probably end up betting either what we said, Travis Hunter plus 750, or I would take a chance on running backs come into the league all the time and kick ass. Like Amari Hampton, Quinshon less because he's on a good team. Amari and Hampton on a really good team.
That runs the ball a lot because it's
Jamar runs the ball a lot. You can't tell me that that's a crazy one. Like, it would make some sense that he would be a logical guy to maybe do it. But like I said, they pointed out the media wants Hunter to win too, which also matters.
I
didn't mean to interrupt so quick. I actually found a trash of the day today, completely unrelated to anything to show.
Okay.
But I didn't want to miss this one just in case, time and all that other stuff.
Sure.
Trash of the day today comes, I don't think it's related to anything we're doing. Okay. Where after poor man was beaten
robbed. Where is this?
For $5,000 after arranging the sale for a Pokemon card in a parking lot.
Oh, no.
Okay, Cody.
As, cards continue to get higher and higher, this man in North South Wales had a card ready to sell.
Wales?
A nice Charizard PSA 9 base set card. Set up the ability to sell as a holo, which matters in the Pokemon and in the regular whatever game. Had it ready to go. He's set to sale for $5,000, shows up, guy robbed him and beat him up for it. So what I'm saying is, I'm just bringing this up as like
why
a lesson
you, why
in
would
life.
Would you do that to him?
This is why.
He's not going to sell it in the parking
this
lot.
This is
anyway.
Why. This is also another reason why I am going the auction house route. Like I've already talked to an auction house and they are going to handle the sale for the card.
This is what you don't want to just sell it to a dude in a parking lot.
No, we got a good negotiation with them. They're not taking any fees on my end.
Is that $5,000 in like U.S. currency or is it like quid or sterling?
Pounds? Yeah. He did not say.
Because I wonder. Because obviously there.
It just says $5,000. This article is based in the U.S. They say $5,000.
Gotcha.
Still, it's a good amount of money.
He said, he wanted to sell it. It's worth a lot more. But unfortunately, these kind of things attract people of violent and frightening experience. Trying to take his $5,000 card in the parking lot.
For money. This guy should not be trying to sell a $5,000 card in the parking lot, though.
Yeah, honestly.
That's just
who
dumb.
Who are you
That's
trusting to sell $5,000 for the
dumb.
Product to? Do it in a public space or something.
Well,
I go back to that episode.
I just wouldn't meet somebody.
Maybe.
But you'd have to have some other arrangement.
But at the very least, this makes me think of the episode of Breaking Bad when he meets him in the abandoned car lot and Tuco's like, what, the mall's not open? Like, do this in the open a little bit so you're not putting yourself at risk. Like, you're less likely to get beat up if you don't just meet this guy in a dark parking lot than if you meet it, like, a lot of times they tell you online to just meet in the police.
Sure.
Parking lot, like you just go meet at a local police department parking lot, which you could do as well. But don't meet him at the random parking lot at the department store. Meet him in a public place where someone else might be around.
How timely for that trash today. How timely.
I thought while you were thinking about it, maybe don't sell it in the parking lot so you
completely,
don't get robbed.
Completely unrelated. Yeah. That's the trash of the day. Mm.
I was trying to protect you.
You stole my trash today. I'm going to steal your random question later on.
Okay.
You stole my trash today.
So you want? I have a random question.
I'm going to steal your random question later on. Coming up at 12:40 or so. I'll just steal that one from you. We can do that. All right. Coming up next, we'll get to the Chiefs red half hour. We'll talk more about Chris Jones and the production from a year ago. And there was a running back I really, really liked last year for the Chiefs. He's still out there. Cody wants to convince me that it should happen still. I'm not so sure. We'll tell you who that is next.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Zoe. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Someone did say you could raise a lot of money for the Coding Gold garage sale if you're just willing to,
Yes, we could.
We could raise a lot of money for the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, Drew, if you just put it in the Coding Gold garage sale, you know?
That is true.
We can get a replica of it. We can sell a replica. We can sell a replica of it.
You take a photo of it?
Get a replica. I'm not even kidding. I might actually get a, not for the garage sale, but I might actually get a high-res photo of it and framed up just because something I can, you know, something that I'll remember the rest of my life. Just because
won't have it, but you want to remember the card.
Yeah, because I'm selling the card immediately. But if I, you know, if I'm going to sell for $20,000 or $15,000, like it's still something like 20 years from now when she retires from the WNBA, it's going to be a cool thing. Like, oh yeah, remember when that card? Which by that point, by the way, the card will probably be worth more at that point. But I'm not waiting 20 years.
But that's the, like, do yourself a favor. Don't follow it. You're going to regret it. You're going to regret it if 5 years from now it goes up for auction and somebody's selling it for 60. You're just going to regret
it. I don't know if it will, though, because there'll be more.
You're going to regret it.
There'll be more. So it's a one-of-one card, but
one-of-one rookie. No more rookies.
No more rookies, but there'll be other one-of-one cards. Not like this card, but there'll be other ones. And so if at that point there's a chance this one actually could become less valuable. So I'm selling it. Right away, right? Like, it's going to be in a June auction. And if you're just joining us, you can go back, listen to the last segment, what the heck we're talking about.
I don't
think
we're knocking your decision. It's just don't follow it because you could also just be like, dang. Like, there's.
I think you're going to drive your. It'd be like a madman. You're just like,
I'm not going to check every day, but like, it'll be one thing like a year or two from now. You're damn right I'm going to check this. But also, if nobody sells it, I won't know what it's worth, right? I mean, somebody else, whoever buys it.
If they buy it for their collection and hold on to it rather than an investment opportunity, then it won't sell again anyway.
There's plenty of examples of cards that people thought, oh, I'll just hold on to it and they're worth jack bleep. You know, it goes back to the prospect stuff we're talking about in baseball. Right now, even with Jack Caglione, right?
His cards are hot.
His cards are hot. If he ends up not being what people think, his cards won't be worth anything in a couple years. Now, if he's what people think, his cards are going to triple.
When you invested in Bobby Witt Jr., you invested wisely. When you invested in some other players, maybe not so much.
I'd rather take some of the money I'm going to get from the card and put it in
a house. You know,
I
found a lovely, downtown, just off 75th.
No.
Like, it's inside an neighborhood. You'd be nice and close to work.
Part of the money for the card, I already know. I'm going to get a little boost to the IRA, a little cash infusion to the IRA. That's part of the plan.
I mean, that's smart. That's also a good investment, but...
All right, let's talk some Chiefs football.
Tell Alex how to spend his money, text line 913-586-7965.
All right, let's talk about Chris Jones, who will be 31 in July. So 31 throughout this upcoming season. And we were just having a discussion about the defensive line, and we were looking at sack numbers. And it probably would surprise some of you, if you weren't really keeping track. Chris Jones had 5 sacks last year. He had 10.5 the year before. He had 15.5 the year before that. Yet he was an all-pro. I still think you watch the games and you realize how much he wrecked the offensive line and allowed other guys to have opportunities. You're a little more concerned than I am. I think that is there a chance that he, I don't know if this is the new norm, but he's not going to be a double-digit sack guy anymore.
I think this is the first year that you can express concern of age.
Yeah.
Up until this point, there was no reason to mention concern. He was playing at an incredibly high level. He's still an all-pro last year, and he was still a really, really good player. Not making any of those arguments. But they went from second in sacks 2 years in a row to 18th in sacks, and the biggest drop-off was him. He went from 10.5 2 years ago, 15.5 3 years ago, to 5 this year. He was behind Karloftis and Turk Wharton in sacks this previous year. Now, you could make the argument, he is, and a pretty good one, I would think, that he is part of the reason that Turk Wharton got the number of sacks he got and eventually got his paycheck.
Yeah.
But at 31 years old, Gold, if we go through half of the season this year, and Chris Jones is sitting at 2.5, 3.5 sacks. I'm going to bring up the age thing again. I'm getting ahead of this conversation now because we bring it up with Travis Kelce. You guys want to talk about Father Time and being undefeated. 31 interior defensive linemen. I watched it eventually get Aaron Donald. Took a long time, and he was never a bad player. I don't think Chris Jones is way too great of a player. He's a future Hall of Fame player. He's too good to just be bad. I don't think any of that's ever, but like the effectiveness level that he was before, not so much. And that's probably also part of the reason they hammered the draft at defensive line. Right? That's probably the reason that they went in the second and the third rounds at those positions for Gelati and for Norman Lott.
So I think for him, having somebody else that can draw some attention is going to lead for the sack number to be up. Now, I don't think he's ever getting to 15.5 sacks again, Cody. I think that's done. That was a unbelievable year for Chris Jones. It's what got him another huge, huge payday. Can he get back to being 10 sacks, 9.5? I think that's still in play at this point in his career. I think Charles Omenihu being on the field, hopefully for the first time for a full season, Haven't had that. He's been on this team. He has never played a full season. One was self-inflicted, obviously off the field issue. And then last year he was in the middle of recovering from an ACL injury. Charles Minshew was. So a Minshew in a contract year, him playing a full season at the level we've seen when he's been available should help Chris Jones a little bit. The rookies,
but he loses, like we wanted
them
to,
he loses, you know? Turk's help. The rookies are a wild card right now, right? Like, I like the draft picks, but they're rookies. And so we'll see what they ultimately can do. But I don't think he's going to have five sacks again. I also don't think, you know, he's probably having 12 or 15. I think he gets back to like an 8 to 10, 9 to 11 range of sacks this year, and he'll still be an all pro again. I don't think we're going to see
nothing of his career. He'll be exactly where he was.
I don't think we're going to see the fall off of her, of his numbers, right?
I'll say that's a big problem for this team. If we do, if he's a five sack guy again, and it, like, this is what's so funny. Last year, like, really think back to last year and realize what happened here. They were 18th in sacks, 12th in offensive points per game. And that was a team that still got to the Super Bowl. And so they can overcome a lot because of Andy Reid, because of Patrick Mahomes. They can overcome a lot of deficiencies. You don't notice them. For the same as, like, the more, and this is probably a hot take, the more I think about last year's team, even though they won 15 games, the more I look at the bigger numbers, the sack totals, the offensive numbers, the lack of the injuries on offense, the lack of superior players on defense. They way overachieved last year. Because of Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, they did the things the Patriots did all the time. That was not a Super Bowl caliber team last year. They went to a Super Bowl, and damn, not, they didn't almost win the Super Bowl, but they got to a Super Bowl last year. That was a team that if you didn't have Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes and you just had the half step down from them, I'm not saying you had Bryce Young and Dave Canales, but you had the step down from there and you had a really good quarterback. You had Joe Burrow and a really good, and Mike Tomlin, a really good coach, really good quarterback. You're losing the divisional round. That's what that team was last year. They got to a Super Bowl. You might lose in the wild card round as a division winner. That team overperformed based on what they were last year because they couldn't get to the quarterback consistently enough. They couldn't score fast or quickly or easy enough. And they still got to the Super Bowl. Chris Jones is such a swing player for them back on defense this year. Get him back in the sack game with a couple of rookies and yeah. Okay, not the sixth best scoring defense, the second best again or the third best. Whatever.
A few people mentioned on the text line. They said, hey, well, you know, are we forgetting that this is why he's a future Hall of Famer? But defensive tackles, sack numbers are typically not in the 15 and a half range, which is what he's obviously had, or 10 and a half range. I think that's part of it. We've just seen him in the same role do it, and so that's probably why. But I still maintain last year, time and time again, we would point out double team, triple team.
Yeah, this is
unbelievable. Yeah, the attention that he draws, and that has to be considered. I know you just look at the sack numbers and that's how people judge him. But if you watch last year, I think it would be incorrect to say he was not effective last year or he had a bad year. That would be wild. I know you're not saying he had a bad year. Sack numbers, though, for this defense, yes. Would it be very important for them to get back to where they were if he, you know, for that sack number to be at least around 9 or 10 again? Would that help in a huge way? Of course. I really think the key is a Minshew on this for the overall defensive line sack numbers. And can the defense a Minshew? And if this secondary is better, if Trent McDuffie has a better partner out there basically than he had last year, does he have Christian Fulton playing at a high level? Does the rookie Noel Williams really help? If the secondary is better, that also helps your defensive line. It works
both ways.
Yeah, they
were weaker in the secondary because they were relying on, and I'm not even denying the fact that he's double and triple teamed. This is not Chris Jones is not the same player conversation. This is they need Chris Jones to get back. Sacks matter. Like, we can talk and till we're blue in the face about pressure or being near the quarterback, and you can go back and what, you know, like, but you got to get finishing plays, which is what the Eagles did against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That's a difference maker. I'm not saying you can't win games or have success. The Chiefs had plenty of success and won a lot of games last year. I just look back and I'm just like, Chris Jones was the reason why they didn't get to the sack numbers that we're accustomed to. Now, I guess right now on paper, you think it's a better defensive line right now than last year? Would you guess right now this will be a better performing sack team than last year?
Sack-wise, yes. One, because it dropped off so much already, so I'm just banking on, like, looking at the number.
Some other guys will come back, yeah.
So, yes, I think they will. Where you and I differed yesterday was I don't think we can say they're a deeper defensive line right this second, because two of the pieces are rookies, and another one, part of the equation is Felix. So I don't think it's deeper, but will the sack numbers be higher this year? I think because of a variety of factors, yes. The ones we mentioned, the secondary as well.
Did he go up in sacks last year? I'm trying to remember where he was from a year.
He had a better season. I don't know what the sack numbers were, but he had a better season.
Mentioned more on the positive end.
Well, he had more. Season. Honestly, he had more plays where he
stood out.
Yes, stood out. Made an impact. He had a lot more plays where he was doing a good job on the edge in the defensive, you know, in the running game. He had more plays where he appeared to be a viable player. Yeah, he had 2.5 sacks last year versus a half sack the year before. So, like, for him, it's like, can you become a 4-sack guy, 5-sack guy? I know that's not the billing of a first-round pick. Fine. Forget that. I'll bury that. I don't care about that. I care about you're 23 years old. You've been in the league now 2 years. You've been active for all 34 games, so you're available. That's a huge thing.
You want him to get the 5 sacks is what you want.
He doubled his sack. He doubled his tackle total. He tripled his tackle for loss total from his rookie year. He added 2 more sacks to, and I get it, it's a half sack versus 2.5 sack. He made improvement from year one to year two. Can you do it again? Because then you are a nice rotational defensive lineman who I can live with. You're not, again, the billing of the first round pick, that's going to be tough. Good luck. But rotational defensive lineman who matters? I talk about, you know, Turk Wharton, he had 5.5 sacks.
Yeah.
So you want to be a 5.5 sack guy with 7 tackles for loss. He had 6 last year. You want to get 7 to 8 tackles for loss? Cool.
I'll
make that work.
The point regarding the secondary is interesting because that was a topic we mentioned 2 years ago when L'Jarius Sneed was still there and how effective they were in regards to how many sacks the Chiefs got last year. Of course, we didn't have the secondary performance, you could say. Not that they didn't have it to go to the Super Bowl or to win it, but it was inconsistent enough where you were wondering. You were a little bit worried about Nazi Johnson. You were worried about Joshua Williams. You know, you were worried about Jalen Watson because the injury stuff or whatever the case was. Where now, if Christian Fulton and Noel Williams can find a way to solidify the room in terms of consistency a little bit more, that I would think would help out things with the pass rush. Maybe not numbers wise necessarily, but just in terms of the ease, it looks like they're putting pressure on the quarterback. It doesn't look like it's difficult to get to the quarterback anymore because the secondary is doing a better job.
Don't forget, coming up, Saturday, May 3rd, we're going to keep telling you because we only got a couple days left. We're going to be down in Springfield for the Cody and Gold Road Trip. We're watching Jack Caglione play some baseball. If you just like young, promising players, that's certainly there. Tickets still available for $10 at 96.5thefan.com. We have over 200 people heading out that way. We're going to meet at Harbell's. At the latest, we'll be there at 3:30, but from 3:30 to 5 to hand out t-shirts before. We're staying in Springfield, going to have a good time down there as well. Look forward to meeting, seeing all of you, watching Jack Caglione play baseball. Hoping to have some extra content for you coming out of that as well, but come down and watch Caglione play if you want to do it. Looking for something to do this weekend. Weather right now in Springfield appears to be 70 and sunny. And for those of you who are worried Caglione wouldn't be in AA, it's now Wednesday the week of, so we're in good shape.
Yeah, and our road trip is presented by The Artist Sports Cards Collectibles right there in Town Center Plaza. Open 7 days a week. They buy, they sell, they trade cards. They're a direct MVP account for Topps and Panini. They got a wide selection of single cards, sealed boxes, memorabilia, you name it. Maybe you're looking for that Bobby Witt card. Maybe you're looking for a Caitlin Clark card. Who knows?
You know, whatever you're looking for.
That is,
Alex will sell that to you for 20 G's right now.
No, it's going to the auction house. it's going to the auction house. All right, let's talk about a running back that last year.
I saw this name pop up and I thought immediately thought of you.
You said, hey, are you interested still?
You
and
were
I said, who?
The drum last year.
I was. Last year, the running back I wanted the Chiefs to sign was J.K. Dobbins. You know, having a nice year.
We don't have
LA
any
Chargers.
Assurances in the running back position right now, you know, that's still
my answer
Pacheco
is,
and Hunt.
My answer is no, because they've created what I think is their room already, right? Like, if you would have told me they would have not signed Kareem Hunt or Elijah Mitchell and they would have signed J.K. Dobbins to go with Pacheco and then draft a running back, I would have loved that too. But the running back room is the running back room. Like, I don't think they're bringing anybody else in. It is what it is. I think J.K. Dobbins would have been a nice piece last year, would have provided some explosiveness. I think he could do the same this year. But the answer is no, only because I know what the room is the room, I think, at this point.
I would be open to it, probably more than you, partially because I don't have any assurances in the room. Like, Kareem Hunt, I'll just be honest. I'm worried about his health because they ran his ass into the ground last year to the point the reports out of the Chiefs camp were that he was so tired at the end, they were welcoming Pacheco back like his legs were cooked. He's a running back in his 30s. And I'm not here to say that J.K. Dobbins is some picture of health. He made it a while last year before eventually he got hurt. But he still had juice. 195 carries, 905 yards, the 4.6 yards per carry. He is only 26 years old. This is why the Chargers have the first right to negotiate the contract with him and why a very rare thing, the restricted free agent stuff, ended up getting used on him. If he ends up on the street, as in you owe no compensatory stuff, if he's on the street in, this is what we're talking about, July, and you don't even owe a compensatory pick, it doesn't factor into the formula, it doesn't factor against the formula for you, do it. Welcome him in with open arms. What's three people?
Here's why.
He's more healthy, or he's as healthy as Elijah Mitchell.
I think the thing is, last year they brought him in for a visit. The same day they had him in for a visit, the same day they brought him for a visit, they signed Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Yeah, I remember.
Remember that? And I was bummed out. I wanted J.K. Dobbins. I think
they wanted more money.
And he had a nice year. And I wonder what's going to happen if he's going to go back to the Chargers or not, because they have Najee Harris and they just drafted Amarian Hampton. I mean, to me, no. Like, if you're J.K. Dobbins, why are you going to that running back room with Najee Harris and Amarian Hampton? I think J.K. Dobbins is going to go somewhere else. But I just wish they would have.
I mean, how many guys do they have in the room right now? Five? Six?
They have Hunt, Pacheco, Smith, Elijah Mitchell. Those are the four main names. And then you have Carson Steele and some undrafted guys.
I mean,
guys.
You know how quickly you can just get rid of Elijah Mitchell and Smith? I mean, if you can upgrade. It's not going to cost you more than a few million bucks.
I want Dobbins in the running back room. I'm just saying they're not going to do it. There's too many. Yeah. They got too many guys in the room. By bringing back Kareem Hunt and signing Mitchell, those were their two free agent running back signings, as far as I'm concerned.
And unfortunately, they did it before. And I don't know if they just didn't think that J.K. was available, or they didn't want to look at Nick Chubb at all. Even though he posted that, I don't know if you guys saw that video where he was 2 foot jumping over hurdles all the way set to the max the other day. It was a pretty ridiculous video.
Is he a restricted Cody free agent? Is that what you said?
You said Dobbins.
Yes. Technically, he'll count against the compensatory formula, which means they'll have the first right to do it. He won't become like a full free agent until July.
Chubb's a free agent, though, isn't he? Chubb's full-fledged free agent, I think.
I mean, they drafted two running backs. I hope he's a damn free agent.
I think they cut him.
I saw him doing a squat that he looked just, a lot more impressive than whatever you would rack up. Okay, the other again, day.
Well, no kidding. No kidding. Right. No kidding.
Okay.
No kidding.
To your point, you're just saying, why not just bring in Chubb? Why not bring in... This goes back to the whole thing. Like, the whole problem... Like, I don't understand what the Chiefs are doing at running back. What was the rush on Kareem Hunt?
That's my thing.
Like, I just Elijah, like, why did they bring them into him? Chubb's on the street. Maybe Dobbs. Like, there are better available running backs on the street. Unless they are just 100% all the way in on Isaiah Pacheco. And they think he's coming right back to old Isaiah Pacheco form. The moves actually don't make sense other than they're dirt cheap. Elijah Mitchell and Kareem Hunt are about as cheap as you can pay. You'd have to pay Chubb more. You'd have to pay Dobbins more. If you were to pay those guys in free agency, you have to pony up a little bit, not crazy money or anything, but a little bit more. This goes back to the whole thing. I don't understand this like rush to be like, well, we secured our running back room. And look, with Breshard Smith, I really do hope he turns into as good of running back as Ashton Jeanty in the sixth. I can feel it in my bones. The hype machine is already out of control on him. It is April 30th, and somehow Breshard Smith, a seventh round pick's hype machine, is already too high.
Is he going to be
crazy? Are they saying he's going to start? Is that what they're?
He was listed as a top 50 draft pick in any draft pick that they liked in Matt Miller's comp.
But that's not Chiefs fans that's, are in that's love. Not that. That's not that. Like that's not that crazy though. That's different than people when we're in St. Joe acting like he's going to be a 1,200 yard rusher. That's you know what I mean.
And I don't remember the exact numbers, but there are like two or three maybe running backs all time who've rushed for 1,000 yards out of the seventh round.
Correct. Yes.
So unless you got Curtis Martin in this, like, I mean, and again, I'm not saying it's a 0% chance, but like we should face the reality that the likelihood of that is kind of low.
The Chiefs one time, fortunately hit on a seventh round pick and it was Isaiah Pacheco. And now because they did it one time, everybody assumes that that's what Smith's going to be. And
I think he's a good pick.
That's best case scenario stuff.
The Curtis Martin name, I haven't heard Curtis Martin's name since like Madden 2005.
Yeah, it's not a name that comes up very
underrated
often.
Running back. Look at his stats. Go look at his stats. Unbelievable career, Curtis Martin with the Jets.
How much more do you think Nick Chubb is going to sign for than Kareem Hunter Mitchell? I don't know.
Not much.
I mean, how much more? Because, and you're right, Cody, it can't be an injury thing.
Yeah, because Elijah Mitchell is one of the least healthy players on the planet.
Exactly. It can't be they're worried about the injuries of J.K. or Nick Chubb.
Pacheco's played. He'll now be into his year three. He's missed games in both seasons and missed a huge chunk of last year. Like, you know, Kareem Hunt's actually the healthy one of the group. He's the guy who's available down in and down out. I'm just worried about, like, his body grinding to a halt. He's 30 years old. Like, I mean, it's just like at running back, that might as well be 90. Like, I mean, that's getting to the tail end. There's a big difference between 26 and 30. And I'm not saying J.K. Dobbins is healthy. I'm just saying they have not valued health at the running back position. That's not been the marker of whether or not they're willing to get him.
It's way too early to say this will be the eventual path. Because remember, this happened because Pacheco got hurt. But, you know, someone's like, I can already see it now. By week seven, they're going to have to sign a running back off the street. I think that's being a little negative. Like, if Pacheco's healthy and Kareem Hunt are healthy, right? You know what I mean? They're not going to be so bad in the running back room where they are going to need to go sign someone mid-season. The only way they're signing somebody mid-season is if there's multiple injuries to the running back room. You know where we're at on the running backs. Just thought they could have been more explosive in the running back room. I don't think it's an explosive running back room. I hope I'm wrong about that, but that's why.
Rashard Smith is their best chance of being an explosive running back room. And so they need him to kind of to get that role. They need him to pan out a little bit this year. Yeah.
All right. Coming up next, we'll get to what's trending before we talk more about expectations for a player making his MLB debut tonight on the mound for the Royals.